sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobia, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young, and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends, know the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, hey, hey. 2021.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
Shut up!
You cannot talk!
Mesdames et messieurs, épisode 217. We brought our own drums. I lose balance on these eggshells. You tell me to thread. I'd rather be a wild one instead. Don't want to hang around around the in crowd. The cool kids aren't cool to be. They're not cooler than we are. So, hey, we brought our drums.
Message!
And this is how we dance. No mistaking, we make our breaks. If you don't like our 808s, then leave us alone, because we don't need your policies. We have no apologies for being.
Message!
Find me where the wild ones are, or my will be all right. Don't mind us, yeah. Find me where the wild ones are, or my will just be fine. Don't mind us. We will carve our place into a time and place. Excuse me. We will carve our place into time and space. We will find our way. Or we'll make a way, say hey, hey. Find your great, don't you hide your face, and let it shine, 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 shine. Welcome, bienvenue à un autre épisode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, aka Mr. Shut Up Podcast.com, aka Le Grand Papa B, and aka Gaston Lebanon. Excuse me. This place smells like weed. Where's my Febreze? Anyways, okay. Before I start the show, I need to inform you listeners that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts. I have to put a lot of emphasis on this. It's a safe space for my thoughts, and they're protected by the red, the black, and the green. With the
red, black,
and the red, blue.
Who's your
business, bitch? I repeat, would you blurs up in this motherfucking bitch? I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and black folks who say yes to Big Rube's question,
are you an outcast?
This episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on Sunday, the Sabbath, November 3rd, 2024, and thanks to the white man at 7:22 p.m. as opposed to 8:22 p.m. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record labeled as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. This podcast may not be appropriate for you. And okay, alright, let me start out and saying a special shout out to my
Negatrons.
Yeah, that flow didn't go well. Yeah, shout out to my Negatrons. That's what I'm choosing to call my audience. I don't know, that's the end thing for now. But first and foremost, I want to send a salutation, greeting and salutation to all you returning listeners. Means a lot that you're sticking around for the ride. And, thank you. And the next group of listeners that I need to acknowledge is a very important category of listeners. And that's all you new listeners. You new listeners checking out the vibes, dipping your toe in the pool, see if you like the temperature, or just here by mistake because you thought I was the other Shut Up podcast. Anyways, yeah, regardless, to you, I salute you and say, hope you enjoy the ride. Yeah, song stuck in my head right now, but I'll get to it. Okay, new listeners, just to help you get familiar with how we are on this journey you just embarked on, I break down my episodes into three parts. Parts to which I refer to as acts. And no, it has nothing to do with the three act structures. I'm just using the word act because chicks dig it. Anyway, all right. So the first act is the intro. Second act is news and random thoughts. And the final act is final thought. Now, so far in the intro, what you've heard is the theme song. Once you hit play, the first thing you heard was the theme song, followed by me telling you the title, and followed by, now I usually refer to this as poetry, but this time I'm going to say bars, some badass bars that will relate to the final thought, to the final act, the last act of this podcast, of this episode. They will all come together. It will make sense. And everything after that was a greeting, salutation, and a little disclaimer. A little disclaimer for white folks. You know what I mean? This ain't your grandpappy's podcast. Yeah. All right. Okay. But I could have sworn you said people down with whitey. Yeah, you're right. Because not all white people are down with whitey. But, you know, I'm from Canada. It's a pretty accurate statement to say that the fair number of white folks are down with whitey. Sure, black people too. Asians. Arabs, whatever, you know what I mean? Anyone on this planet could be down with white people. Oh my God, ooh, could be down with whitey. Oh, wow, I just got myself canceled. I don't even like the word can't say. I don't even believe in the concept of being canceled, but yeah, I just said an inappropriate shit. But yeah, well, so much for whitey jokes. Yeah, okay, that's it. Okay, that's it. Oh, right, okay, I'm buying time. Now the way I like to finish off the intro, the first act, is by sharing some quote. And yeah, here we go. The first quote goes, "Dear artists, it takes more energy to avoid your destiny than to fulfill it." Shout out to Talamas AC for blessing my timeline with these amazing quotes. Second quote goes, can you hear that? Okay. Second quote goes, bear with me. "Girls are socialized in ways that are harmful to their sense of self, to reduce themselves, to cater to the egos of men, to think of their bodies as repositories of shame. As adult women, many struggle to overcome, to unlearn much of that social conditioning." And the author's name is Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie. Yeah, I think that's how you pronounce it. Anyway, yeah. Any of you, I need to tell you this. I was going to say, any of you Beyonce fans might recognize this from, Flawless. Flawless. Yeah, one of her track, Flawless. That was a powerful saying. It hit me, and again, connected to the final thought. And the last quote goes from Shonda Rhimes. "Calling a show a guilty pleasure is like saying I'm embarrassed to say I watch it, but I can't stop. That's not a compliment." Sorry, Sister Shonda Rhimes. I would disagree with that. But she's the one who's making TV shows. I think that's what I was saying. You tell me my show is a guilty pleasure, I'll punch you in your mouth. That's not what she said, but anyways, again, related to the final thought. All right. Now, before we get to final thought, we need to do some news and random thoughts, which we'll be doing after you hear this sound. I just had reheated sushi tempura. Ew. It wasn't bad, but I had to struggle myself to finish it. Yeah. What does that have to do with anything? Nothing. Just, you know, random thoughts. Welcome to Random Thoughts. I should call this On a Tangent. All right, okay. Let's start with enjoying TV show. Okay, here's what's going on. Okay, I actually have some serious random thought, and then I'm going to end with some election fatigue. Election fatigue part three. But first I want to talk to you about a new TV show that I discovered. I won't go into the details, but maybe I should put the trailer that attracted to me. But anyways, attracted me to the show, and it's called, it's by Paramount. And it's called Special Ops Lioness. Recently there was a clip from season two that went viral, and I watched it. And it was what's her homegirl's name? Homegirl's name is. Oh wow! Oh my god! It's some pretty women. Oh wow! Okay, let me make my point. Zoe Saldana. And she plays a badass, essentially. She plays a badass, and it got, I remember it was on the timeline, and it got all our attention. It's like, wow. Anyway, so I'm starting with season one. I'm not binging it. I'm just watching it one day, one episode at a time. And so far, I'm at episode two, and geez, it's good. I'm enjoying it. It's a distraction. It's not Game of Thrones deep. It's a great distraction. It's good TV. I would rate this as good TV. All right. The reason I was talking about how these are pretty ladies. Okay. Look, I'm from the 80s, man. If you had a TV show filled with pretty women, pretty actresses, that's all you're gonna get. Hey, let's go shopping. Blah blah blah. Blah. No. We're 2024, man. These shows are these women play women that could fuck you up. It don't take nothing but front for me to start bucking. No, is it? Don't take nothing but front for me to start something bucking and bucking like I was playing duck hunting. Anyway, yeah. Basically, these pretty women play badasses. Like, I'm watching the show. And I'm intimidated, not just by the women, but it's essentially it's like in the army in a military settings, and the people that Zoe Saldana's character is in charge of is a bunch of like Marines, badass Marines, men and women, right? And I'm intimidated. I feel like I'm in the gym locker room, and everyone's got a bigger penis than me. Or everyone, it's like I'm the reason why we lost the game. It's a great journey. I'm enjoying the journey. On one end, I'm intimidated. I'm looking at all these tough guys. I'm feeling like, oh man, fuck. She went a whole night without any sleep. I wouldn't be able to do it. Oh my god, she's like kidnapped by the bad guys. Ah, fuck. I would have snitched by then. You know, it's just a lot of strong characters. Oh, with badass kids. Anyway, and it's just, and it's also, I think it's a big deal too, is having a female lead in the show. Like, women playing roles that usually back in the day Stallone would be playing. And it's, anyway, I'm enjoying it. Lioness, I'm recommending it. And again, I'm at episode two. Give me time to hate it. This is my way of saying that I've been disappointed by good television before. Looking at you, season 8 Game of Thrones. But yes, yeah, I don't fall in love easy because I've been disappointed before. But yeah, no, great watch. I'm looking for. I think if I have time, I'm gonna, after editing this episode, I'm gonna watch episode 3. All right, okay. Okay, I put this title down. Here's what I wrote that. I said, we were not raised to be kind. And I remember that thought was inspired by a video or a TikTok video, but I can't remember what. It could have been a TikTok video, or it could have been men weighing in on abortion, or men being not supportive of Kamala, or being supportive of Trump. And it just, I forget what the clip was, but just for context, if I find it, I'll bring back this topic. But for context, I meant to say how we boys were born, grew up through the system. We were not raised to be kind to women. Now, you find a man who is kind to women, that's an exception to the rule. For the most part, we were programmed. Okay, look, not like how completely evil, but it was like low key. It's like hide your intention. Take advantage of the fact that not being loving husband, boyfriend, or whatever. Like taking advantage of women, the empathy and shit like that. It just had me thinking about a lot of the unlearning a lot of us had to do because we weren't raised to be kind towards the opposite sex. And it just made sense. Like, I finally understand, growing up, all these girls are older girls, girls, women who kept saying, yo, do men even love women? And for us, it was like, of course we do. Now, suck my dick. You know what I mean? Who else is going to suck my dick? You know what I mean? It's anyways. I can't remember what. Anyway, if I find a clip, I will share it. What else do I got? Oh, right. Okay. I feel the need to give myself a cookie. I didn't something. I hate when I do that. Sorry. Okay. Let me correct this in my notes. I wrote down, I did something mature today. You know what it is? I'm going to get ready to give me a cookie for my matureness. So I used to. The mature thing I did was removed myself from a subreddit. And this particular subreddit is called Late Stage Capitalism. Remember on the last episode I told you about a friend of mine posting something on Twitter that I couldn't let go? Well, I'm remembering that there's a subreddit during this election phase that bothers me, that's been bothered with posts. The posts have been bothering me, and it's Late Stage Capitalism. And they have, you know, let me just get to the point. I'll read it this one, right? This is the post that got on my nerves, that bothered me, and I was getting ready to reply. Here it goes. It goes, the biggest issue I have with Harris supporters is how happy they are to vote for her. 216. Oh, okay. They'll say they are only voting for her in order to keep Trump out of office, but then turn around and buy her merch, donate to her campaign, post pictures smiling that they voted for her. I know. Bear with me. If you're going to support genocide, at least understand the way. Oh, hold on a second. Oh, God damn it. Now Google pays attention. Okay. If you're going to support genocide, at least understand the weight that comes with that. Why are you ecstatic to stick to the status quo? Where the working class continues to get pummeled while CEOs make record bonuses. Why act ecstatic that you're voting for someone to continue the acceleration of fossil fuel usage that will ultimately destroy the entire planet? It's fucking weird, celebrity worshiping territory. You acknowledge your vote is taken hostage between two parties with a grin on your face. What the fuck is that? Now, I'm assuming there are two people who are responding to what I'm saying. There's the people on my side going, what the fuck? And getting ready, and ready to write Dracarys. And then there's another people who say, nah, I get it. I agree with this listener. To both of you, I say you're welcome. I mean, I welcome in the sense that I'm making space for both of you right? And now the first category of people, I was getting ready to respond to this, okay? Because I was thinking about okay, you know what? Instead of explaining, because the next point on the agenda will challenge the whole supporting genocide idea. But it's also the, what I felt like responding with, it's like, yo, you should talk to, the same way those people are feeling joy, or feeling, well, buying her merch and doing all those shit that bothers you, they're supporting Kamala, is the same, makes me think of, you should talk to Black Americans. Black Americans who are fully aware of their history. Like, to the point that a sane man would have lost their sanity. But they still call themselves proud Americans. And the answer is, it's complicated. It's not that simple. To you, it is. But to the rest of us, to us, it ain't that simple. It's complicated. I hate when I had a point and and I forget what I was going to say. Yeah, to you, it's simple, but in reality, it's complicated. It's kind of like, damn, it was a dope-ass point. I wish I'd have wrote it down. I can't remember the point. I just know that it was a really good one. Anyway, the second point I was going to make is, to those people, despite everything you just said, fossil fuels, the genocide, and whatever, despite all that shit, Kamala is the closest thing they have to hope. It's the closest thing that they have to, we are not there, but we're heading in that direction. We're in the direction of positivity. Now, like I said, I'm making space for both people reacting, disagreeing, agreeing with me, right? I understand the person who wrote that is the equivalent of the person who during slavery was like, yeah, nah, fuck that. I ain't trying to hear any fucking excuses about slavery. Slavery is bad. And all that shit, right? I get it. But I'm coming from the point of view of the person, you know, the people in chains and whatever, it doesn't change their circumstances, the fact that you hate slavery. You're not the one. I'm thinking of that scene not To Kill a Mockingbird, A Time to Kill. When, okay, this is a complicated scene to set up, to explain, but I guess if you haven't seen the movie, it won't make sense. What I was going to say is the scene where Samuel Jackson is in prison and him and his lawyers works out a way to, what was it? Oh, to get the church to pay for his lawyer fees. All right, because the church wanted to hire a Black lawyer. They say, no, I'm going with this white boy. Anyways, they got Samuel Jackson and Matthew McConaughey's character. They work together to get the church to be like, to shame the church and to say, hey, motherfucker, you're paying for my lawyer fees. Then they leave and McConaughey is like, yo, we make a great team. And Samuel Jackson reminds him, I'm in jail, asshole. You're out there. We are not the same. What's my point? You know what? Okay. Like I said, I'm making space for, I understand you're on the side of, yo, you're the same people. You're pretty much like the abolitionist? No. Holy shit. Abolitionist. I am not pronouncing that word right. Hold on. Let me look up that word. No, it's not abolitionist. Oh my God. John Brown. Are you kidding? That John Brown. What the fuck? Who's a white boy? Abolitionist. Oh my God, abolitionist. Yes. It's, you know, yeah, I'm getting ready to make express an opinion that's going to be hard to hear. It's essentially, I'm trying to make space for both group, but the truth is, I'm on team. Watch your mouth about Kamala. Excuse me. No, I'm on team. Yeah. I don't expect Kamala to go in there and the atrocity committed in Gaza, but I do expect her to be an American president. What that means is, yes, a lot of us are gonna have our hearts broken. A lot of us are gonna be disappointed. She's gonna do some shit like, God forbid, she's like, yeah, you know the whole Roe v. Wade shit? Yeah, turns out I can't do shit about it. So you bitches better close your legs because, get ready to have a child. Yeah, I'd be hella disappointed. Disappointing. But at the very least, I expected to come through on that. But you know what? Maybe it's okay. I'm talking to you while trying to process a perspective that I don't understand. And I don't mean don't understand in a way that it's not valid, but it's like I'm processing someone else's. Like, I need time to marinate the other side. Again, seek first to understand and be understood. Like I said on the previous episode, when it comes to supporting Palestine, there are two types. There are one category of people who are willing to work within the system, and the other group, nah. And I'm just saying, I mean, in an ideal world, both groups would respect each other's approaches, but that's not, you know, of course there's going to be criticism. Like me, I'm still processing the side of I'm against slavery. I'm against genocide. And I'm saying, what's the fucking plan, though? Look at me, I'm getting ready to criticize. I'm saying, if you're going to be, again, I'm just going to make the simple point, if you're not going to vote, if you're not about the ballot, then motherfucker, you better be on the streets with the bullet. You better be ready. You better have a plan. You better, and you know, and that plan better not be simply being on the internet talking shit. Because there are lies. There are people going for, like, the poor kid starving to death in the Gaza Strip doesn't give a fuck about us both arguing whether, oh, no, I think Kamala is our greatest solution, and you being like, nah, man, fuck that. She doesn't give a fuck that you're out here calling me a genocide supporter. They don't give a fuck. It doesn't change their fucking... Damn, it's hard to accept the situation. It doesn't change their circumstance. It doesn't change the fact that they're starving to death. It doesn't change the fact that, you know, these IDF soldiers are committing atrocities like crazy. It doesn't change shit. Like, I guess at the very least, we need to accept that we're both useless. All we're doing is trying to change minds little by little. Anyway, all right, okay. So the mature thing that I did, and so is one, because I was getting ready to respond to that Reddit post, and then I said, knowing that I was going to say something that was going to get downvoted, I read what the mod said. And the mod said this. He said, this is a good time to remind people that this is a socialist subs. We support only, capital letter for only, a vote for socialist candidates, Claudia and Karina, I don't know who that is, not Jill Stein, and only vote for against genocide, only a vote against genocide. The following post guidelines are important. Rule number 4, no liberalism, capitalist, apologia, and anti-socialism. Rule 5, no imperialism. Rule 6, no lesser evil rhetoric. To be able, long story short, the mod is pretty much saying, hey, we're with the posters. And if you give us an opinion that we find, if you don't stay in the fucking lane within the parameters, you're getting banned. They actually tell you they're getting banned. Now, I've gotten in trouble on that sub. Look at me. You're talking about a sub. Anyway, I've gotten in trouble on sub because I didn't understand the whole argument against the whole lesser than evil rhetoric. Like, I didn't understand that. But by the time that I read this, I realized this is their safe space. Respect their safe space. So my first instinct was to reply, well, you guys are a bunch of bitches. I'm leaving. And then you know what? I just went to the unjoined. I just left the community and leave them to their space. I was close to comparing them to the conservative subreddit. Oh, I got banned from there. Quit. Oh, you guys don't want to hear an opposite opinion? It's like, nah, man. Essentially, what they're saying is either you come here to understand or beat it. And I get that. Even though it bothers me, but yeah, it's like this podcast. It's my safe space. If you're here, you're here to understand, to connect. Not to be like, oh, well, you know what would make you feel less like a bitch? You know, anyways, yeah, because I've heard it all already. So I enjoy. I stop myself from applying. And it's what's that saying? Not every, something about bark dogs. You don't need to respond to bark dogs. I don't think that's the actual quote. No, dummy. Quote. Oh, speaking of dog, quote. You'll never reach the death of barking dog Selman bite. Oh, wait. You don't need ignore. You will never reach your destination if you stop. Nope, that's not it. That's not it. Doug. Okay, anyways. You will never reach your destination if you throw stones at every dog. Okay, I think this is close. Yeah. Not to call the poster a barking dog, but I remember reading a quote about a sign of maturity is letting go. You don't have to engage in every argument. And here's the thing. Ain't shit I can say in that quote that's going to make someone let go of a strong-held belief. Again, respect the safe space. Now, where's my goddamn cookie? All right, okay. Now, coming back to the fact that we're on you're on my goddamn podcast, and I should mention that we're now in the U.S. election fatigue portion of News and Random Thought. I should mention that, oh my God, so we're the third, and election day is on Tuesday in the U.S. But you Canadian, what do you give a fuck? Shut up. Shut the fuck up. It's on Tuesday. Let me tell you something. Kamala doesn't win, I'm not going to work on Wednesday. Fuck that shit. It will not be safe for white folks. It will not be safe for my employment. Because I'm really going to feel let down. But anyway, whatever. Okay, so, what are your plans for election night? All right. Okay, here's someone on TikTok who shared a thought about calling people genocide supporters. And take it away, hoe boy. Here we go.
Calling people genocide supporters because they're voting for Kamala Harris is intellectually lazy and just dishonest. And I know a lot of people are afraid to say this or have this sentiment, but it needs to be said.
Say it.
The emotional extortion has got to stop. Mm-mm. Solidarity cannot be built by twisting people's arms to your position, nor does it do any good to put people in the position or posture of believing that you're willing to gamble with their rights for the sake of virtue signaling. Mm. It is exhausting, mm-hmm. and it's enough. And let's be clear, solidarity isn't built because you focus on one cause. It is built on the collective causes and positions all of the groups to do better. I'm gonna say this, I'm not seeing a single Palestinian creator do that. Where that's coming from are whitey leftists. It is literally the most exhausting thing happening as we run up to this election. But this conversation that we're having isn't one about winning or a certain person getting elected, because they know that Jill Stein or Cornel West or Claudia De La Cruz, they know that they can't win. Mm-hmm. It is about them throwing a temper tantrum to get their way. And when they can't get their way exactly like they want their way, what they then do is attempt to punish everybody, because you see, misery loves company. Mm-hmm. Misery loves company. If I can't get exactly what I want, I'm willing to gamble your rights away so that I could prove a point that I am morally superior to everyone else. Well, fuck you.
Fuck you.
Miss me with that. Miss me with that. We have a responsibility to take care of every person. And because you can't get the exact way you want, doesn't mean to me that I have to set aside what I intend to do in the interest of the collective. It means that I'm considering all people. But to have watched that rally that Trump had at Madison Square Garden and the harmful nature of not only him, but all of the speakers almost from that event, and to say, oh, well, she should have done exactly like I wanted. I'm okay with him coming so we can burn the system down when you don't have matches or gas to even start a fire. People would respect you all if you didn't come wielding the tools of white supremacy culture, twisting arms to get your way, emotionally extorting people to have your voice heard in the way you want it heard. It's enough. It's enough. So if you're out there and you're undecided, and this is the issue that has you on the fence, then I ask you to consider every single person that will be impacted by a Trump presidency. Don't let someone emotionally extort you into believing that voting for Kamala Harris makes you a quote-unquote genocide supporter, because it just isn't true. It is a weaponization born of white supremacy culture that intends to force people into positions that they would not otherwise adopt. My heart goes out to the people in Gaza. I will continue to push President Harris for an arms embargo. But as we lead up into this election, I don't have time for those games. I don't have time for gambling with the rights of everybody else. It's just not a reasonable ask. And people should stop making it of others.
Yeah, homeboy said it for me, man. He said it perfectly. Look. With Kamala, you have the, all I can say for the other side is Kamala is the one, is the closest thing you got to hope when it comes to Palestine. And I like how he made the white supremacy, the white supremacy part, I'm looking for a word here. And whatever, the pitch. But someone brought up as when they were saying, how come no pro-Palestine supporter aren't doing a rally aren't protesting at Trump's thing? Look, man. And the other thing too is, look, you fuckers need to understand what kind of country is the United States. I brought it up. They're the gangsters of gangsters. They're like allies with war criminals. It's not sunshine. It's like, yeah, okay, it's cool that you're into the struggle now. You've joined the social justice. But here's the part you black people had to figure out the hard way. It's all if you're in it for the short term, beat it. This shit takes time, and I understand that I'm the guy. I'm the abolitionist talking about, yo, it's going to take time before we can get rid of slavery. But it's a reality. Did I mention I'm Haitian? Yeah, in Haiti. Yeah, man. Fucking. I mean, when did the Haitian Revolution start? It's by going to war, Haitian Revolution. Shout out to all the Haitians listening to me. Goes, oh, how do you not know this off the top of your head? Haitian Revolution. August 22nd, 1791 to January 1st, 1804. I knew the last part. So that, what is that? That's 4 plus 9. That's 13 years. 13 years. They fought. They didn't spend time on the internet calling, hey, yo, fuck it. I guess you're down with slavery. I guess you're pro-slavery. Nah, them motherfuckers fought against France. France was like the U.S. of that time. Close to it. I'm thinking about how, every Haitian likes to assume that during the revolution, their ancestor was like on the forefront. Some of us might have been snitches. Some of us might have been like, you want to fight the French? Are you fucking crazy? Fuck that. I'm going back in the cane field and worship this white Jesus they want us to take on. I'm saying revolution takes time, man. It ain't no joke. It's not just putting on fatigue and beret and reading some Frantz Fanon, hey, I know that name, and using words like Marxism, socialist, and shit like that. Nah, man, it takes time. And fuck people like anyone who like gets you to believe it's a simple thing. Revolution, it's not a fucking TV show. Okay, calm down, B. Calm down. Lead, follow, or get the fuck out the way. All right, okay. Ooh, blood pressure's high. All right. I blame white kids, man. That's what it is. White kids show up and, yeah, all right, the new in thing is revolution. You know what? I got to stop talking shit because I was that teen who was convinced that. I remember, I argued with my dad. Again, I was a teen, just discovered this new black power shit. And I'm like, whoa, I figured it out. You know, and again, I'm a teen. I'm convinced that I know everything I need to know about the world. And my dad, God bless him, man. My dad, he didn't agree with this shit. But I didn't respect the fact that he knew more shit than I did. I don't know. I can't remember what the argument we were talking about. I guess, what do you mean you're not down with the struggle? What do you mean you don't want to, you don't want to join the cause? Well, I can't forget what it was, but I remember it ended with me going, well, I guess you're an Uncle Tom, Pops. And, yo, God bless that man. He didn't get mad. He said, son, trust me when I tell you, by the end, you and all your revolutionary homies will all be working in the government. Guess who was right and guess who was wrong? All of us ended up with government jobs. Mortgages and shit like that. White picket fence. Some of us are like, yeah, you know what? I think I like Trump. He's good for the economy. Saying shit like that. Not me. But I am saying shit like, yeah, I ain't doing shit to fuck up my mortgage. All right. Okay. Now, I'm looking at the time, and I promised myself that I'm gonna be more bougie with the time here. Okay. I have more links related to election fatigue, but I'll let you check it out themselves, right? But one guy is pro. Why the fuck you mean you ain't going to vote? Oh shit. Okay. A masterclass of white privilege. That's Van Lathan. Is it Van Lathan? Am I pronouncing this right now? Van Lathan. And talking about Trump. You know what? Fuck it. A masterclass of white privilege. I'm going to play it. If you haven't heard it already, but I'm still going to play it. Yeah. And then this one is Sit Down, Kellyanne Conway, and Mark. And the last one is Mark Allen Morris. All right. Okay, let me play this one, and then we'll see. I'll judge the time and go with the flow. Here we go.
This is a singular amount of white privilege that Donald Trump is being treated with. This is a masterclass in white privilege. Trump can't say enough to be racist.
Mm-mm. Correct.
He can't commit enough crimes to be a criminal.
That's right.
He can't fail enough to be a failure. Mm-hmm. And he can't say enough stupid things to be stupid. He is so shielded and insulated by the idea and the concept of whiteness that he is unfucking touchable.
Yeah.
Yep.
The thought conjured around him matters more than any reality. Any reality. He is a Christian that doesn't know the Bible, that fucks porn stars.
Yep.
That is grabs mean, women by the pussy.
Grabs women by the pussy is the least Christ-like, but the sheer promise of the whiteness that exists inside of Donald Trump is enough for everyone, white and black people, a lot of them who worship whiteness and aspire to the level of whiteness that Trump has. It's enough for them to say, hey, he's still our guy, no matter what.
It's the whiteness he guarantees to protect. That's what he represents, right? It's their being that he guarantees to protect. And that's true. That's something that they won't say, but that they're voting for.
Mm-mm.
Message.
That was powerful. Check out Rachel Lindsay and on the Higher Learning podcast. You can get more on that one. But I couldn't say it any better. Okay, I'm rushing through this. Sit down. Okay, I'm not going to play this clip, but I said sit down, Kellyanne. Is that Conway? Is that her name? What's her name? I'm not going to play this clip, but links are in the show. Kellyanne Conway. Yeah, all right, okay. Now, what's his name? Maverick owner. Fuck. What the hell's his name? Maverick owner. What? No, Mark Cuban. Jesus Christ. Miriam Anderson. Anyway. Oh, did she sell the team? Oh, well, Mark Cuban got himself in trouble with the conservatives, with the Republican, because he said, yo, Trump doesn't surround himself with strong and intelligent women. I thought it was given. It was a given. And apparently a whole bunch of, I was going to say strong, a bunch of conservative women took offense to that statement. I'm like, come on, man. Quit bullshitting. There was, I think it's the New York Times. Which one of those magazines? New York Times had it covered, and it showed the New York Post. Just a sec. Achoo! Woo! God damn. Oh, man. That was a demon that had to come out. I like sneezing. I feel like, ooh. New York Post. Yes. And New York Post is a racist rag, man. It's like I was going to compare it to the Ottawa Sun in Ottawa. No, it's worse. I mean, both racism, but it's like their racism is more potent. Oh, they're probably on the same level as, you know, they're all racist. Fuck it. I was gonna say Journal de Montréal, whatever. My point is, New York Post had a cover, and they had 9 Republican women. Was it 9? Or it might have been 12. Whatever. And they say, well, these ladies want to talk to you, Mark Cuban. Basically, they're Trump supporters. One is Paige Sage, Trump's lawyer. Look, man. And it just had me, because I didn't want to be one of those guys saying something sexist, like, oh, they're all bitches, whatever. You know, it's like the empirical evidence that they are not the strong, intelligent type. At least not the kind that I would want, if I had a daughter, to look up to. The only thing these ladies can teach us, can teach me, is how to kiss the ass, how to kiss the ass of the right man to move forward, to get me ahead. I don't mean sexually. I mean like brown nose the right person. Because that's all Trump is. He's like an opportunity to get ahead. If you're willing to like sacrifice your integrity and all that shit, he's your guy. And the thing is, there are men like that. It's like my key to success, oh, fuck, Trump supporters, his followers, the Vivek, whatever the fuck his name, fucking the dude who, what's the name of the guy who died? Pretty much every black conservative, every one of those black Trump supporters, Mark Robinson, I'm going to forget all their names, Herman Cain. Herman Cain followed that guy to his grave, his own grave. All those people, they're probably prominent business people. They probably have like a lot of accomplishment, BAs and all kinds of degrees. But deep in terms of character trait, they do not have a character of a strong, intelligent human being. Trump is a player. I don't have to explain myself. If you listen to this podcast, we probably agree on that point. He's a player. He's like the guy, he's like a sinking ship. If you get into an agreement with him, if you make a deal with him, he's figured out the ends that he gets something out of it. Like, you don't go in there thinking, oh, I hope he plays fair. Nah, man. He's, if I could stick it up your ass, you're getting it. You're getting it. If you let me stick it up your ass, you're getting it. And remember, he's the guy that, I think about it that much when it comes to strong and intelligent women. He used to own a beauty pageant, and this asshole took advantage and would go in the change room and be like, huh, how y'all doing, ladies? You know, and while he stroke his ego, we're naked, whatever. But that's, maybe that's what reminded me of how we men weren't raised to be kind to women. Trump is the everything about him. he never took the time to unlearn that shit about how to be a less toxic male. The creepy guy. Anyway, whatever. Okay, last point. Last point for using random thoughts. There was a clip on, I'm not going to show it. I'm just going to share it. And there was a clip that while I was editing the last episode about this dude. His name is, at the time we didn't know his name, but his name is Mark Allen Morris. Who's Mark Allen Morris? Mark Allen Morris, links are in the show notes. You can hear it for yourself. You get all the details. But essentially was an early voter. And this motherfucker showed up with a hat that said, "Let's go, Brandon." Now, for those of you unfamiliar, "Let's go, Brandon" is a chant said by the Trump supporters, and it's meant to be a undercover, not undercover, but a low-key fuck. If you say it, you repeatedly, it comes out and sounds like "fuck Joe Biden." It sounds like that. So it's another way to say "fuck Joe Biden," to express their opposition to the other side. It's the, we have "fuck Trudeau," they have "fuck Joe," they have "let's go Brandon." Anyway, so these election polls are clear about the about hey, no pro candidate T-shirt. When you come in here, we don't even know who the fuck you're voting for. Don't be wearing that shit around. They're clear on this on those rules. Anyways, so Mark, whatever the fuck his name is, shows up to the early voting booth, and he's being told, "Hey, sir, you can't be wearing that shit." And of course, being the Trump supporter that he is, he gets all unreasonable. He gets mad and he's indignant. My theory is, you know, he's a white man who's like, "How dare these niggers tell me what I can or cannot do back in the old days? And that's why I'm voting for Trump. I want him to bring back lynching." Anyways, yeah. And so he got upset. And at some point, it looks like a scuffle. These are all women, by the way. It looks like he's about to get in a fight with one of these ladies. And this dude, they're trying to pull him off of him. Like, he's not being a reasonable human being. But the story, the link, show notes, is about how the police, which part of the United States this happened. The police showed up and they didn't even bother. They didn't even slap him on the wrist, or whatever the expression is. Slap him on the hand. They let him go. But it's some bullshit, but I like the fact that his information is out there on the internet. Here, let me Google his name. Mark Allen. Here. Trump supporter. I hate Trump supporters. Oh, they're talking about the pool guy. Wrong guy. Mark Allen Morris. You know what? I'm going to let you, because I'm running out of time. I'm using more time. Okay. Oh, South Carolina election worker fights voter over let's go Brandon hat. Because that's what gets about these folks, man. It's not enough for them to be, look, support your guy. They got to be an asshole about it. They can't shut the fuck up about it. Do you want to vote or do you want to make a point? Anyways. Look, again, U.S. election fatigue. Two more days, gang. Two more days. Hang in there. Two more days plus an extra hour. Because it's a white man. Oh, right. When I was talking about the time earlier, it's because of daylight savings time. Shout out to that extra hour. I hate daylight savings time, but that's another random thought. All right, okay, yeah, U.S. election, man. So this is the last episode before the next election. Hang on to your knickers. I think that knickers means panties in London and whatever, in that part of the world, across the pond. And I don't know why I said hang on. Oh, no, because I was imitating Baxter from Ocean 11. Hang on to your knickers. All right, okay, yeah, God save us all. I don't know. I'm trying to say something wise, but yeah, by the time this episode will be out, you'll be one day away from the election. Again, Kamala doesn't win. I am not showing up to work. There's a chance there won't be an episode out because, you know, because I'm really going to be feeling, it's not just let down by white people, but it's like the last grasp of hope that I've given. Like I said, for some of us, Kamala's not perfect, but she's the symbol of, at the very least, we're heading towards the direction of progress. Those of you who don't see it that way, you know, I get it, being ones and zero, I'm like that. But for us, it's just heading towards progress. Trump doesn't win. That means a lot of you motherfuckers didn't come out to vote. A lot of you motherfuckers heard what this asshole had to say and was like, eh, I can't see the difference. Or allowed yourself to get played by these billionaires, by these corporations, into not voting. Voting is the little power they're willing to let us have. That's what it is. It's the power they're willing to let us have. To get behind the wheels, to be able to say, hey, we want to say in this shit. But that's where we are, man. Last point. Yeah, I was thinking of this episode of Brené Brown. She's got a podcast, Untold Story, something like that. And she interviewed Kamala Harris. And it was a great interview. I loved it, right? It just shows, like, you want her president. You want someone like that. Even though she's like, okay, all right, I'll tell you what. Even though she's in a boardroom negotiating, okay, I know you want to kill 1 million Palestinians, but how about 500,000? I know she's negotiating shit like that. It's fucked up shit like that. Anyways, my point is this. She really believes in this system. She really believes, like I said, two kinds of support. Those who work willing to work within the system and those outside the system. I'm one who works within the system, but I'm very skeptic of the system. She believes in this shit. She feels like, and it's great that we have people like that, because or else we'd be stuck with Trump. Anyways, all right, okay, let's wrap this up. This concludes User Random Thoughts. Let's jump to the final act. Sorry, I'm going for my Twitter notification. Focus, B. I'm easily distracted. And there's a clip of Trump at one of his rallies bragging about how, talking about, yeah, man, my rallies, I get people at my rallies. My shit's never empty. And his roll cameraman, as he's explaining how his rallies are always packed, homeboy decides to move his camera and show all the empty seats. And there are a lot of empty seats. I'm a little disappointed at you Trump supporters, man. Why are you letting your boy down? I mean, sure, he left you in the desert and he doesn't pay his bill. And I'm sure that, you know, maybe you just got tired of hearing YMCA and watching him dance. Or maybe you heard that he was going to simulate sucking a dick and not bothered your Christian sensitivities. I don't know, whatever. There's a lot of reasons not to show up to a Trump rally. But God damn it, support your boy. It's embarrassing for the guy. Again, don't let the fucking... don't let that shit. I'm really hoping, you know, it's like, okay, I'm not gonna show up to vote. Kamala's a shoo-in. Welcome to the United States. He's gonna get those billion votes. He's gonna get a shitload of votes. The only thing that counts is, can Kamala get a shitload of votes plus more? All right, okay. Where were we? I need a new sound machine, man, because this shit was, there's a long display between, okay, focus B. All right, okay. What's up with today's title? Right, We Brought Our Drums. I think I'm going to go with that one, We Brought Our Drums. Okay, all right, before I go with, before I tell you, explain what's up with today's title, I feel the need to give you a series of excuses. Okay, you know that song that when you're by yourself, you listen to, and then you'll sing the words, you'll enjoy it, you'll kick it and stuff like that. This probably only applies to men. the men here, but the songs that you'll listen to, but when your homies get in the car, it's like, oh, holy shit, that's my sister's mixtape. I don't know how the fuck that got in there. I don't know. It's an embarrassing to admit, but this is why I had a quote about guilty pleasures. All right. Now, which finally brings me to the title to this song. Okay. The song that my guilty pleasure is, I shouldn't call it a guilty pleasure. It's like, I don't have the balls to admit to the world that I like. And it's called, it's called Wild Things by the Alicia, I think I'm pronouncing that right. Alicia Cara, right? And I won't lie. I used to bump that song and not pay attention to the lyrics. I had no idea what the fuck she was talking about. It's like, we brought our drums, but I mean, there was like, what the hell's that about? And, hold on, I'm just trying to get her age. Damn, she's young. Italian-Canadian singer-songwriter. And she is, born in 96. God damn, I graduated in 97. Anyway, okay, focus, B. Alicia Cara. I used to bump that song. Okay, let me back up. I have a playlist on Spotify. Yes, I reenacted. I started using my Spotify account again. And I used to do that. Something I used to do every time I heard a song that I like, I would hit the like button just so I could save it, right? So I chose to just listen to all the songs in my like folder, right, on shuffle. And I'm like, damn, I was saving a lot of good songs, right? And then I forgot. It's like discovering an old mixtape. I'm like, damn, okay, there was a lot of good songs. And then finally, Wild Things came on. And I'm like, boom, ba-doom, boom, boom, with the drum beats and shit like that. Shout out to the producers, Malley and Sebastian Cole. That beat is dope. But this time around, I found myself paying attention to the lyrics. And it's as if homegirl was singing to me directly. Now, here's the point to this whole entire setup. I already liked the song. What I'm saying is, this is the first time that I found myself, without even reading the lyrics, paying attention to the lyrics. And shit like, we make our own rules. Oh, that's my favorite one. But you and I were pioneers. So we gather. We're rebel rousers. We sing along. We don't care. What they say, no way, okay? Okay, and we leave the empty chairs to those who say they can't sit there. We're fine all by ourselves, okay? And then, in the chorus, right? It goes, which one? So, we brought our drums, and this is how we dance. No mistaking. We make our breaks. If you don't like our 808s, then leave us alone, because we don't need your policies. This is the important line. We have no apologies for being in period stuff. I thought she was saying before time, I thought it was, we have no apologies for being, find me in the wild things are. And I'm like, what? That doesn't make any fucking sense. Too bad. I like the beat, whatever, right? But I realized, when I realized that there was a period after being and the chorus was separate, find me where the wild things are. And I think that my favorite line is, we find our place. Okay, he goes, what's the line? She goes, we will carve our place into time and space. Look, okay, here's where I'm going with this, man. I've made several episodes dedicated to the theme of being your own damn self, embracing yourself. Embracing solitude. What's that line by Jay-Z? He goes, I went through the fork in the road and went straight, carving your own road, being your own person. This is me, celebrating yourself. When I realized that's what this song is about, this is pretty much just what this podcast is about. This is just one man trying to be his true self, trying to expose the side of him that he usually keeps hidden. And no, don't get me wrong. It'd be different if I was a cold-blooded murderer. Yeah, I would, you know, this would not be a podcast. But the part of myself that I keep hidden, there's no reason for it to be hidden. Except for the fact that, except for being surrounded by people who like to put you in a little neat category, like who have a limited ability to understand me. Do you know what I mean? Like I'd gotten so used to just being whatever the world wanted me to be that I'm like, okay, the only way I can like be my true self is on this podcast. And when in a selected group of friends. I mean, I've been thinking a lot about that. Trust me, it was a big dilemma on whether to share this shit, to talk about. This song is a perfect example of what I'm talking about. The side of me that I'm exposing. Now, like I said, I don't deny this is the kind of song that I would be like, oh, I don't like this shit. Not just because the artist is young. It's more like a teeny bop kind of song. It feels like a teeny bop, no disrespect to the artist. Also, fuck, she's Canadian. Come on, what the fuck? I'm from the generation of ew, that's Canadian? Oh, man. Okay, with the exception of Celine Dion, Bryan Adams, and Maestro Fresh West. Canadian music used to suck back in the days. Anyways, right? Anyways, okay. Oh, the other thing too is because I hung out with like hardcore musicians, pop music, what the fuck? Take that shit out of your car. Pop music is unworthy of my respect. It's just money people make for it's just music people make to get money. I know I'm going overtime. I guess I'm talking to myself. You don't know, right? But I have something to say. I have something to say this time, right?
You know, I didn't come here to preach to you today.
Yeah, I'm preaching. You're getting the Sunday. You're not getting the Catholic service. You're getting the Baptist service, and we don't know when the Holy Spirit is going to leave. All right, okay. Let me just get my message across here. I remember enjoying the song, especially the message, specifically the message. And I read the description. When what's the song is about to confirm that I am listening. It goes Wild Things. And according to Alicia Cara, Alicia Cara, Wild Thing is supposed to meant to be an anthem. And yep, sister, you're right, it is. Let me read what she said. She goes, Wild Thing functions as an anthem for outsiders. Okay. At the beginning of this podcast, I feel like I don't put enough emphasis on when I say black folks who say yes to Big Rube's question, are you an outcast? Are you an outsider? There's a lot of us black folks who grew up black, but always felt like the outsider. Maybe you're the black person who surrounded, you know, it's like, oh, you speak like white people. Or oh, you speak ghetto. Oh, fuck it. I'm Haitian, right? Can't dance compa. Oh my god, no say compa. You're not a real Haitian. You know what I mean? Like, you always felt like you weren't black enough for people. You felt like an outsider. Some people would be surprised by hearing, B, you feel like an outsider? It's, look, man, if you, like, were the roll the tape of my life and you would see me around a whole group of people, it's like, well, you hung out with the popular kids. Yo, I was putting on an act. I was good at, okay, in this Christian circle, I need to behave like this. In this circle, I need to behave like that. And fuck be black. All right, okay. So let me finish reading. It goes, Wild Thing functions as an anthem for outsiders. Shut Up Podcast is a podcast for outsiders. I could have said that. A tune about self-acceptance. That's what started the podcast. Alicia urges the listeners to embrace their uniqueness instead of conforming to what society considers quote-unquote cool. Now, like I said, I'm enjoying this song, but the ultra masculinity in me is like, what the fuck's wrong with you? That's why you get no bitches. You fucking dance into shit like this. Again, ultra masculinity. It's my own issues to overcome, right? It doesn't change. Look, okay, I put two categories. What I like about the song, I love the message, and shout out to the artist for being an old soul, because she's a young person. Like, it's amazing that a young person has that kind of wisdom. So shout out to her for making a great song, and also how this track pretty much encapsulates this podcast. What I hate about the song. How it challenges. It's hate is the wrong word. Or probably it's my, again, I'm just reacting to art. I'm not saying shit like, hey, dear artist, this is what you should change. This is like, I'm giving you the full spectrum of me reacting to this song. Now, the part about this song that makes me uncomfortable, I guess that's what I will say, is the ultra masculinity. The part in me that's like, hey, man, you trying to be us tough guys. The people in Lioness don't listen to shit like this. You know what I mean? Look, no. There's a scene in Harold and Kumar in the movie where they find themselves enjoying, like, singing a song that they enjoy, but it's like, you know, you're not supposed to like it because you're supposed to be a quote-unquote real man. That's what this song is. It's, like, in that category. But plus it's pop, all pop and shit, and it's, like, what popular radio station play. But it doesn't change the fact that I actually enjoy the song. But the real, what makes me uncomfortable about the song, again, my own issues, right, is how it reminds me that I'm getting old. It's a reminder that, hey, because I'm looking at the singer. I just watched the video. It's a bunch of teenagers doing teenage shit. I'm like, that era is gone. And two, it's also remembering that, like, a part of me kind of feels like the old guy in the club, unintentional consequences. And, like, I can hear my therapist talking to me about this. Why would it but like it's an discomfort that I can't explain. And the last point is how the part about reminder that I'm getting older. Yeah, I'm still haven't made peace with that. I'm still not getting old with grace. But it's also, I've reached a point in my life where the people who are smarter, wiser than me, I'm getting wisdom from people younger than me. That's been something challenging to accept. Like, you know, your boss. I end up with boss who's younger than me. It's not a bad thing, but it's like you're so used to looking up to people, and now you're like, how come I'm not that wise person? How come I'm not the, you know? It's my journey. I think the episode that I record for my birthday goes, I forget how the song goes, but essentially, I'm going to be 50 soon, and it's fucking with me, man. It's uncomfortable feeling. It's like you can't stop yourself from feeling like, okay, well, just leave me alone with the old and the sick. Society just moves on from you. You know what I mean? I love bittersweet love. Is that what it is? I love the song. Don't get me wrong. It doesn't change the fact. But if I do have a discomfort about it, aside from the ultra masculinity, it's like the boys play with boys are supposed to be boys. Aside from that, but at a deeper level, it's the reminder of it's yeah. I'm getting wisdom. I'm at the age where my doctor's younger than me. Well, not my current doctor, but the specialist. It's happened where I showed up to, like, a lawyer. It's like, oh, fuck. They deserve it. Don't get me wrong. It doesn't mean, look, everything that I'm describing is not your problem. It's my own. It's me struggling. I'm at the age, I'm at the point of my life where I'm struggling to accept things, where I'm at, to just look in the mirror and accept what I'm seeing. That's it. Great song, though. Great song. Me sharing this discomfort is part of the pop. It's just me being myself. I'm not trying to make you uncomfortable, whatever. I'm just, maybe for all you younger whippersnappers, some of you will go through the same thing. And the best I can suggest is that you're aware of these thoughts. Because there are people who are like, who are my age or are not aware of all these thoughts, and they're, and they just made them, and it just makes them bitter people. The aim is to be better, not bitter. Look at me giving advices to people. All right. Find table space. Say your social grace. Bow your head. They're pious here. But you and I were pioneers. I love that line. But you and I were pioneers. And what the fuck are you going to tell a pioneer? Except, I think you're lost. Shut the fuck up. How am I lost when the map hasn't been drawn yet? I'm, because we keep going in circles. Man, shut the fuck up. Anyways, okay. All right. This concludes today's episode. Hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed recording it. I'm trying to not beat myself up for going overtime, but, you know, that's what you get for enjoying talking. As always, if you feel like you connected with something that I said on this on today's episode, holler at me at shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. What was that? shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. Peux-tu répéter? Oui, shutuppodcast 411 @commercial@gmail.com. You know the @commercial, I think that's a Quebec word. At le at sc, le at gmail.com. The power of three kids. Website is shutuppodcast.com. Again, it's a work in progress. And yeah, no, that's it, man. Yo, hold on to your knickers. And next time we chat, here's hoping we're talking about the I don't know. I can't guarantee. I don't know if I'm recording another episode on November 6th after the U.S. election. Sorry. I still remember when Hillary ran. Sorry. I still remember when Hillary ran, and we went in going, how the fuck is she going to lose to this doofus? And it was, 11 o'clock was that night, and those numbers were not looking right. I'm like, oh, shit, fuck. You know what? Okay, let me go to bed because I gotta wake up and go to work like a mature adult. But I remember waking up at 3 a.m. in the morning to go to the washroom, and I'm like, and the thought of checking my phone to see if she won crossed my mind. I'm like, nah, don't do it, because if she lost, you're not going to be able to go back to bed. And I remember waking up thinking the internet was broken. The fuck you mean she lost? Seriously, man, I will not forgive white people if Kamala loses. I will not forgive. What if even Canadian whites, man? I'm putting you all in the same fucking boat. Oh, man, because y'all had us convinced that. No, we're better people. No, we're better now. You motherfuckers don't show. You know what? And also, this motherfucker could cheat, too. Hope they're prepared. But anyways, all right, I've said too much. Okay. Yeah, that's it, man. Thank you for listening, as always. And remember, please, be kind to your favorite podcast. All right, man. Peace.